In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, of all the parables told by Jesus, today's parable, the parable of the wedding feast, has to be one of the most orthodox. It is a story in which a king gives a great banquet in honor of his son and his bride, and none of the guests show up on time. You laugh because you know it's true. But there's more. Our Lord goes on to describe how the king, he begins after this to invite people, as the King James Version says, from the highways, just to fill up the banquet hall. And even when he finally finds wedding guests who are glad to be there, the king still discovers that there are a few, who wish to take advantage of the master's generosity, the king's generosity, who want to participate in the wedding feast on their own terms. There is a guest, we hear, who does not desire to wear the wedding garment which the master would provide to his invited guests. That was the custom back then. You were invited to a wedding. When you arrived, the master of the house would provide you with the proper garment to wear. This guest chooses to reject the master's hospitality. He chooses to reject sort of solidarity and fellowship with his brothers and sisters. He enters the feast in a way that seems best to him. We hear this parable every year. We hear it every year on the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a familiar parable, but it is also a unique word from our Lord to us on this day and in this place. What I would like to do this morning is offer you three additional ways that the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. These are three ways that our participation in the kingdom of heaven through our St. Nicholas Orthodox Church is like that great wedding feast described by our Lord. So first, participating in the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet, quite simply, because it is expensive. Those who pay for a wedding know that doing so is not cheap. And you don't want it to be cheap. You hope to make it as wonderful and as joyful as possible because the celebration of a marriage is worthy of the costs involved. The kingdom of heaven is no different. Doing God's will requires money. Establishing and maintaining a church building, paying clergy to celebrate the services and provide pastoral care and education to the faithful, heating and cooling, insurance and repair. These things require a parish to collect and spend substantial amounts of money. In our little parish alone, we expect to have to spend $120,000 this year on these basic costs. And that's a lot of money. But to speak honestly, our budget should be bigger. In his great commission to the apostles, our Lord commanded his followers to go forth and to baptize all nations and to teach them to do all that the Lord had commanded them. He did not say, go forth, pay a living wage to those who teach and preach. He did not say, go forth and pay your bills and your premiums and your maintenance costs. He didn't say it because he didn't have to say it. Of course you and I are commanded to do these things. It goes without saying that the basic costs have to be met. But a parish that only cares and only ever cares to meet the basic costs is a parish that suffers, in some sense, from arrested development. A parish or a church community that only looks inside, one that does not look outside, is a parish that follows the Great Commission kind of in spirit, or rather in words, but not in actions. Such a parish is one that will most likely not outlast its current supporters. To preach the good news, to minister in an active way to the community, to address the issues of poverty and suffering, these are the activities that we are commanded to do. The more that we do them, quite simply, the more money is required to support the work of the church. This is an important question. What does our budget look like? How many lines in that budget are devoted to evangelism? How many lines in that budget are devoted to addressing the needs of the least of our brothers and sisters? How many lines are devoted to supporting you and me as we teach our children or as we spread the news of our faith to those who live near us? And if you don't know the answer to that question, I encourage you to please ask and find a copy of our budget and find out. A budget is always a moral document. It is a statement of vision, and our life in Christ presumes that we will meet those basic costs, as hard as that is, but it also demands that we take on the extra costs of ministry. Please join me in our parish council as we begin to draft next year's budget in the upcoming months. The budget is the true mission statement in our community, and join us as we try to put our Lord's commandment into action. You know, sometimes you and I, we hear people say that the church only cares about money. This is wrong. In fact, forgive me, but as I heard a wise person of God say very recently, the only people who say that the church only cares about money are people who only care about money. Like a wedding, the kingdom of heaven is worth the cost. And this is why our Lord compares the two. And if we want to give our children the best marriage feast ever, then we should also want to give them the best possible chance for participating more and more deeply in the heavenly banquet as members of the body of Christ. So there's one. There's one additional way in which the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. It's expensive. Second, the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage feast because you need an invitation. You know, we live in very peaceful times here in today's Orthodox Church. But many of you, I'm sure, can recall decades ago that parish and parish council meetings, these were oftentimes very dangerous affairs. You know, when the church assembled to conduct its business, it was not uncommon to witness shouting matches, even a few punches. I'm not making this up. I was told that one old parish in the Midwest required that firearms be checked at the door when they would have parish council meetings. And there was this kind of unspoken antagonism between clergy and the faithful. Sort of one of the great slogans that captures the old spirit in parishes back in the good old days was the one that was often heard from the council. They used to say, "Father, you take care of the upstairs. We will take care of the downstairs." Thanks be to God that throughout this country, Orthodox parishes are no longer marked by this kind of division and territoriality. Thanks be to God that the true Orthodox tradition of conciliarity and cooperation within the entire body of Christ is now the norm. And here at St. Nicholas, clergy and parish leaders work as a team dedicated to common goals. And it is a cause for celebration that we can say together that we both take care of the upstairs and the downstairs. But the question that needs to be asked, a question that should not be missed, one that should confront us each time we gather in Holy Assembly, is the question, okay, we are taking care of the upstairs and the downstairs. Who is taking care of the outside? Who is taking care of those on the other side of the stairs, those who have yet to join the church? Think about it. What kind of oddball would arrange for a sumptuous and lavish wedding feast, but then invite no one except those who just happen to be there? Entry into the feast requires an invitation. It requires that the banquet hall be inviting and that the guests, that they be invited. Kingdom of heaven, no different. We need to make our church as inviting as it can be, and then we need to invite the world. And if the guests don't come on time, we need to invite more. And we need to keep at it. We need to keep issuing those holy invitations until we get complaints that, "Father, there are so many people, the pews are in the way, and the communion line is too long," even if we had two priests and three deacons holding chalices. We have to invite people to the church. We have to share with them the good news of the transforming presence of God's love in this world. So like a wedding feast, the kingdom of heaven is expensive, requires an invitation. And third, when you plan for a wedding, for all those plans to come together, for everything to take place as you hope, this usually requires a small miracle or two. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet because you have to believe in miracles. To get the band from the airport, to get everyone there on time and in place, for the cake and the flowers and the dresses and the banquet hall to be just so. To make sure that nobody faints and nobody falls and nobody flips out, the hand of God has to be involved. It is truly a miracle, sometimes a series of miracles, that everything gets done that needs to get done for a wedding. Life toward and life in the kingdom of heaven is no different. Everything that I have already said, how parish budgets should be more visionary and more strongly shaped by the gospel, about how our life as disciples requires sacrifice and service and celebration, which is always directed toward the outside, we have to admit that none of this is humanly possible. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, to borrow the Lord's words, than for an Orthodox parish to ask its people for even more money and to invite its neighbors to a service or two. Impossible. But, as our Lord reminds us, with men these things may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet in that we have to leave room for God to act. It requires faith on our part. It requires that we trust in God's good promises to be with us, to be our source, to be our guide. That great commission, how important it is to remember that at the end, Jesus doesn't just simply send out his disciples to do all this impossibly hard stuff while he himself just kind of kicks back and then returns to heaven. It doesn't happen that way in Matthew's gospel. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, there is no account of the ascension at all. Jesus tells us to go and baptize and teach all the nations, and then he says, "For behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." What a word of comfort. What a boost that gives our faith and our efforts. We do not labor alone in this world. Twice in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminds us of the same thing. He tells us that we are God's fellow workers, that we are co-laborers with Christ. So to pull off that great commission, you have to believe in miracles. In the very first thing that the deacon says at the start of the Divine Liturgy, just before he turns to the priest and he asks for a blessing, he says, "It is time for the Lord to act. Bless, Master." This is a verse from the Psalms. And those words should be our words whenever we engage in holy ministry to others. When Jesus is your wedding planner, nobody faints, nobody falls, and nobody flips out. Or in the biblical language of today's gospel, no one is cast out like the ungrateful wedding guest into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, we at St. Nicholas are striving to pay the bills, hoping and learning how to send out those invitations. And little by little, we are learning to trust more and more deeply in our Lord's promise to always be with us. Please join us. Amen.